Praised be Jesus and Mary. Just a quick biographical sketch of today's saint, Didicus of Alcala. Name a little odd, perhaps Didicus, but it's maybe more familiar in its original Spanish, Diego. So Saint Didicus, or Diego, was born in Spain around the year 1400 in the southern part of that country to God-fearing parents. At a young age, he entered the Third Order of St. Francis and served God for a long time as a hermit. He was consumed with a desire for still greater perfection, so he entered the Franciscan friars and followed the first rule of St. Francis. So from being a hermit in the world, following the rule of St. Francis, he became a friar, following the first rule, giving his whole life to God, abandoning the world, and he made solemn vows as a lay brother. He rapidly progressed in virtues, and especially in his union with God in prayer. He also manifested great zeal for souls, willingness for sacrifice, and his superiors noticed all this, sent him as a missionary to the Canary Islands, which at that time were still inhabited by people without the Catholic faith. Didicus was eager for martyrdom. He bore with patience the many hardships that came as part and parcel of being a missionary. By word and example, he helped converting in many of them. He actually exercised the role of superior there of that friary in the Canary Islands, and remained there until 1450. He was called back to Spain and then to Rome by his superiors. St. John Capistran was at that time the superior of the Franciscan order of which Didicus was a part. He, in Rome, continued his pursuit of holiness, especially in serving those affected by the pestilence that broke out in that city. He served them tirelessly and selflessly. Despite a lack of supplies in the city, despite the Franciscan poverty that he vowed, his faith in God and diligent zeal always provided ample provision for his patients by begging for them, by praying for them. He miraculously restored many of them to health by merely making the sign of the cross over them. Leaving Rome, he returned to Spain, where he lived until his last day on November the 12th, 1463. When death approached, he asked for a poor, old, worn-out habit so that he might die in it as a true son of St. Francis. His holiness was known in life, and months passed before it was possible to bury St. Didicus. So great was the concourse of people who came to venerate his remains. Though it took months to put his body in the ground, not only did his body remain incorrupt, but it diffused a pleasant odor. After it was laid to rest in the Franciscan church at Alcala, and astounding miracles continued to occur at his tomb. Pope Sixtus V, himself a Franciscan, canonized Brother Didicus in 1588. St. Didicus is the special heavenly patron of the Franciscan friars who are brothers. And the Spanish for Didicus is Diego, and Mission San Diego in California was named for him. We can pray for that city too today, which is struggling with its own moral confusion. Now, one takeaway of St. Didicus's example is this, that he's an eminent example of the Franciscan humility and simplicity that every Franciscan should follow, and each of us in his or her own way can follow too. Between the big events in his life, there was the ordinary life of a Franciscan, brother and also superior. So then the ordinary everyday work, which consisted, of course, of prayer and diligence and praying faithfully, being there on time for prayer, being there faithfully at prayer, not giving up when it was difficult, when he felt dryness and aridity and temptations. The manual work that's not unlike the work that has to be done in any house, Franciscan house or or any house, sweeping and cooking and doing maintenance work, fixing things that get broken, moving things from one place to another, etc., taking care of the sick, bearing his other brothers patiently. All of this filled his life. Most of his life was precisely this. The big extraordinary events were few and far in between. Most of his life was this. Then as superior, the ordinary administration, which again is not unlike that which even lay people have to carry out. Taking care of the friary buildings, making sure that there was a schedule for the friars, making sure that there was food on the table and clothing for the friars. It's precisely this that really kind of sanctified St. Didicus of Alcalá. And he knew that that it's dedicating himself precisely to these little hidden tasks, unpleasant maybe little things of daily life, that he really grew in union with God, because he had that supernatural vision that in God's eyes, nothing done for love of him is really small or insignificant. God doesn't judge our actions by how impressive maybe they are by worldly standards. We can't impress God. God judges our works by the amount of love that we put into them, and that's what makes them great or not so great. Even the most little and humble things, which the world despises, done with love of God, are great in his eyes, and even the greatest achievements in the world, done for selfish reasons, not motivated by love of God, are worthless in God's eyes. And that we can definitely take away from the example of St. Didicus. And we too can realize that in the end, God's plan for us, whatever it might be, and for most of us, it's an ordinary life of just pursuing our vocations, hidden from the eyes of the world, without the attention of the media or even of the church, with no applause from our neighbors for what we do, for the good we do. But realizing with the supernatural vision that God's plan for us, no matter what it may be, how small it might be, since it comes from God, since it's an act of God's love on our behalf, in the end is not small, not insignificant, and if we correspond to it with great love, every one of our actions will be great in his eyes. Praised be Jesus and Mary. Yeah.